In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
The church, in her joy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, continues to celebrate Easter for 50 days. This is why we sing Easter hymns today, and why we will continue to sing them for another few weeks. This is one of those times in the church year when we become keenly aware that we in the church mark time very differently than the way the world marks her time. We see this first in the celebration of Advent, which is not just the church's new year, but it's also, for us, a time of preparation. We are looking forward to the return of Christ in his glory to bring us into his kingdom, while the world is busy holly jollying and jingle belling. It happens again with the 12 days of Christmas, as we are still singing Christmas hymns, but the world has long since moved on. And so it is with Easter. It's bizarre, and we should think of it that way. It is bizarre that there are Easter egg hunts on Good Friday, but it happens. Christians are busy mourning their sins and what they cost their Savior, while everyone else is chowing down on chocolate. And I'm guessing that if you told the average Joe that we celebrated Easter in church today and we're going to celebrate it again next week, he'd look at you like you were kind of crazy. But that's how it is with the church and the world. But we are getting to the point where even our Easter joy is beginning to diminish a bit. Our alleluias and Easter acclamations are not as loud as they were on that first Sunday of the resurrection. And this is an unfortunate reality of having feelings and emotions that are subject to the fall into sin. We cannot maintain our joy by a sheer force of will any more than we can maintain a smile on our face for a long photo shoot. So the church, in her wisdom, shifts her focus ever so slightly to her future. Whereas Jesus tells us, we will see him in just a little while. Jesus begins our text for today by saying, "A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, and you will see me." These kinds of prophecies often cause the disciples quite a bit of sorrow. At this point in John's gospel, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples on the night of his betrayal. We know what's about to happen next, and the disciples are beginning to get a clue that something big is about to happen. He has in mind here to warn them about the separation from him that they will face at his crucifixion and death, and that they will be separated from him for just a little while. But even beyond that, Jesus is speaking of his ascension. For 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, in just a little while, Jesus would be taken back into heaven, and the disciples would see him no longer. And this warning causes the disciples not only confusion, but much sadness. The Lord, whom they had followed for some 3 years, was about to be taken from them for a little while. These little whiles where the Lord would not be seen would be difficult for his disciples. The first little while between the crucifixion and the resurrection was one that was filled with fear. The disciples were locked in the upper room on the Easter evening because they were afraid of what would happen to them. If they so crucified their rabbi, what would the Jews do to them when they were found? In the time after his ascension, this fear became a reality, as all but one of the apostles suffered martyrdom for preaching in the name of Jesus. But with these words here, Jesus also made them a promise. Our Lord never made these warnings in order to simply scare them straight. On the night of his betrayal, where our text is located, Jesus says three times over the course of these several chapters in John's Gospel, "And I have told you before these things take place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." Jesus gives these warnings in order to show them that yes, he will suffer, and they will suffer as well, those who have put their trust in him. But he's also promising that when these things happen, according to his word, he will strengthen them in faith toward him and fervent love toward one another. It is as if he were saying here, "See, I know what you will suffer, because I have every hair on your head numbered. Just as a sparrow does not fall to the ground without my knowing, so also I hear every sigh that you breathe and see every tear that you shed. And because I know what you will suffer, I also know what I will do to deliver you from every evil of body and soul. I will neither abandon nor forsake you, for I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus' aim on the night of his betrayal was to comfort his disciples with the knowledge that in their suffering, though it would last a little while, was known by him and would be taken away by him. This is why he said to them, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." The disciples' newfound joy would be in seeing their Lord again. And it would be a joy that no one in heaven on earth could take away from them. But what about us? What about you who have not seen the Lord? We do not have the benefit of having seen the Lord in the same way that the disciples did. We did not see the miracles he performed. We did not see him raised from the dead or ascend into heaven. And yet, this word of Christ is also for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. With these words a little while, Jesus is warning you about the sorrow that you will face in this life, in this time after his resurrection from the dead. Yes, every single Sunday, especially in this season, is an Easter Sunday. But this joy is often muted and sometimes is completely overtaken by what is happening in this little while that marks your life in this world. Yes, the entire Christian life is marked by the words, "a little while." The sorrow we face because of persecution reminds us that we are strangers and aliens in the midst of a world that hates Christ and his word. The sorrow that we face in the midst of this little while is marked by cancer and death. The sorrow that we face in this life is marked by abuse and scandal. Even the joy and the strength that we find in this life lasts but a little while, as nothing in our sin-weary world ever lasts very long. Friends come and go. Family members move away and are seen only a few times a year. The babies that you once snuggled grow up. Yes, even our joy in this life is transient. It's passing. It's temporary. As the church so often beautifully sings, "Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." But remember Jesus' words. "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me." The fact that our lives in this world are marked by the words, "a little while," mean just that. It lasts but a little while. This means that our sorrows last but a little while. Jesus' illustration of the woman in childbirth is a perfect image for this. For labor and delivery, as I understand it, are rather difficult. It takes a huge toll on mothers. But even as much hardship as there is in this to bear, it lasts only a little while. And I can remember so clearly the tears of joy that welled up in the eyes of my beautiful wife when the nurses laid a almost nine-pound Naomi on her chest that February day some 7 years ago. And I guarantee that the rest of you mothers in the congregation know exactly what I'm talking about. How quickly the pain of childbirth passes away into the joy of finally getting to kiss the face of that child that you carried for 9 months in your own body. And so it is for you too, dear Christian. In just a little while, you who have not seen Christ will see him. And this will give you joy that no one will be able to take from you. He will wipe away every sorrowful tear from your eyes as he brings you into the eternal joys of his kingdom, which has no end. St. Paul describes this in 2 Corinthians, where he says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." What he means there is that the suffering that we endure while we are in this little while is far outweighed and cannot even be compared to the pure joy that is ours in Christ, and which we will see and which we will have in just a little while. This is the true joy of the resurrection of Jesus. Not simply that God has raised him from the dead, but that his resurrection from the dead guarantees that we too will be raised again from the dead on the last day. And this is God's great promise to you. And this joy is yours even today. Though we do not behold Christ in his returning glory today, he does come among you in ways that you can see, hear, touch, and taste. Today he came to you in his name at the beginning of this service. For wherever two or three are gathered, he promises to be there in the midst of them. He comes to you now through the preaching of his word. This is why we stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. It's not just to get the blood flowing and to make sure that you pay really close attention to that part of the service. But we stand as a recognition that we are hearing the very living voice of Jesus proclaimed in our midst. And in just a little while, Jesus will come to you in his very body and blood, given under the bread and wine. In his body is given the peace that passes all understanding and joy that cannot be taken from you. For it is in his body, broken for you, and his blood, which was shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, that you are reunited with God forevermore, and that he gives you the forgiveness of sins that is won for you at the cross and placed into your mouth this very day. In the divine service, Jesus comes to you to give you a foretaste of the joy that is yours now and that will be yours after you have passed from this little while. And so let us tarry here but a little bit longer. For your Lord Jesus Christ is here, even in the midst of this little while, to put an end to your sorrows and to give you a joy that nobody and nothing in all of creation can take from you. Not hardship, not persecution, not sickness, and not even death.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.